more than you will ever know. Thomas Allen Lamb went home to his Heavenly Father on September 19, 2019, as the result of a motor vehicle accident. Thomas was born February 7, 1971, in Menominee, Wisconsin, to James and Elaine Bruner Lamb. He graduated from Elmwood High School in 1989 and attended CVTC in Eau Claire for truck driving. On July 10, 1993, Thomas married the love of his life, Lori Howard. They had three sons who he adored with all of his heart. Tom enjoyed spending time with his family, helping his sons in the pits at the races, working in his garage, and helping his family and friends. He was also an avid fan of NASCAR and loved to attend races. He was admired by many for his work ethic and dedication to family. He was currently employed by Milestone Materials and was a member of the Operating Engineers Local 139 for 26 years. Tom is survived by his wife of 26 years, Lori, sons Justin and Leah, Tyler and Lizzie, and Dylan and Sophia, his parents James and Elaine Lamb, siblings Gary Lamb, Tim and Pam Lamb, Sharon and Joe Kearns, Sandra and Mark Kefhart, mother-in-law Laura Severson, sisters-in-law Jody and Joe Lavelle, Crystal and Tony Anderson, Afton and Tom Simpson, Markia and Mark Schmidt. Also many nephews, nieces, great-nephews and nieces, cousins and friends. And even though he wasn't a grandfather, I understand some called him Grandpa Tom. He is preceded in death by his brother Gregory Lamb, father-in-law John Howard, sister-in-law Georgina Howard, maternal and paternal grandparents. I'd like just to draw your attention to the scriptures today. The scriptures are the place where we find the deep hope that we need, the everlasting hope. Jesus gave a great invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Why should we come to Jesus? Well, there are a number of reasons. We come to him for comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 11 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And then for peace, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We come to him for love. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When terrible things happen, we wonder often, where is the love of God? Does God love me? But I want you to know that God does love you today. God shows that love in many ways. But the greatest way he ever demonstrated that love was when he sent his Son into the world to die on a cross for our sins. And then we come to Jesus for assurance. Romans chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Paul makes this incredible declaration. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then 2 Corinthians verses 5 through 6, this great assurance of hope. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so Tom's body is here today. That's all it is. It's his body. The real Tom is in the presence of the one who died for him, his Savior and Lord. Father, today we just invite your Holy Spirit here today, the Comforter. Father, we invite you here today as the God of all comfort. And Lord Jesus, we invite you here today to give that peace that passes all understanding, that it would guard us today and strengthen us and give us the ability to go on. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Grandma Burton wrote a poem, and Jessica is going to read it at this time.
A poem for Thomas Allen Lamb by Grandma Dorothy Burton. We think of Lori and the boys who greatly loved their dad and husband, the family once so happy and now so greatly sad. We share in their sorrow, and our comfort seems so small. For them we love so dearly, so on you we call. We think of brighter days and think of better days as we lean upon this Savior and we take to him our cares. For he knows the best answers as we walk the golden shores. Tom loved his racing and helping the boys with their race cars. He loved his wife so dearly, and clearly it was known to all. He was always helping others as needed to be busy. He will be greatly missed by all.
Lori and the boys have picked out songs, and I believe this one was from Tyler, My Old Man.
He was a giant, and I was just a kid. I was always trying to do everything he did. I can still remember every lesson he taught me, growing up, learning how to be like my old man. Was a lion. We were a father's pride, but I was defiant. When he made me walk the line, he knew how to lift me up and when to let me fall. Looking back, he always had a plan. My old man. My old man, feel the callus on his hands and dusty overall. My old man, now I finally understand. I have a lot to learn from my old man. Now I'm a giant, got a son of my own. He's always trying to go everywhere I go, do the best I can to raise him up the right way, hoping that he someday wants to be like his old man. My old man,
Justin Tyler Dillon, I know that he is proud of you. If you would join me in saying the Lord's Prayer together, using the word trespasses. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And then another song, Just One More Day.
Last night I had a crazy dream. Wish was granted just for me. It could be for anything. I didn't ask for money or a mansion in Malibu. I simply wished for one more day with you. One more day. One more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still for one more day with you. First thing I do is pray for time to come. I'd unplug the telephone, keep the TV off. I'd hold you every second, say a million I love yous. That's what I'd do with one more day with you. One more day, one more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Keep me wishing still for one more day. One more day, one more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still one more day. Still one more day. Keep me wishing still one more day.
Coming to deliver the eulogy.
Thomas Allen Lamb, he started his life in an oval wicker laundry basket due to a shoulder injury at birth. As Tom grew, he found a love for hunting and agriculture. He was a decorated member of the FFA through high school, and he passed on his love for hunting to his three sons. Tom met the love of his life December 27th, 1991. Tom loved Lori with all his heart. They were married July 10th, 1993, and they had three sons,
Justin, Tyler, and Dylan. He was very proud of his boys. He was delighted when Justin decided to go to school for law enforcement. He was full of joy as he watched Tyler walk across the stage to get his degree in auto body and mechanics. And the best part of that was Tom was in California, and he flew back and surprised Tyler at his graduation. He was so proud to watch Dylan as he graduated with a degree in architectural and structural design. Tom's family meant the world to him. He worked many hours each week to provide for his family. If it was just at his regular job, out in the shop, or just helping the boys out, or family members doing different things. He wore many hats in life as husband, father, son, brother, uncle, friend, and handyman. He was blessed with a large extended family and many friends. He was a man we could all rely on. As a stubborn man, he would occasionally butt heads with others, but he didn't hold a grudge or stay angry. He just moved forward. He still showed love and compassion. He was a role model for many nieces, nephews, and many friends of the boys. He was a quiet man many of the times until you got to know him. And with that silence came some ridiculous commentary and even worse jokes. And he definitely made us all smile. And on the occasion, he would have us shed tears as he'd pick us up by our toes to crack our knuckles. Tom loved his NASCAR and attending races with his wife, the boys, and with Sandy and Mark. He enjoyed watching the number 88, Justin, and 89, Tyler, on the dirt track. He loved helping in the garage, working in the pits, or just bragging about his boys and their racing, or all that they did, all of their accomplishments. With all of those memories that you guys had, all three boys in the shop, and working on vehicles, I hope you cherish those memories forever and you pass those forward on to your kids. As of lately, he really started these last, 5 years, he enjoyed traveling around the United States, doing cruises, twisted his arm a little bit, Lori, to get him to go, but it made him the happiest man on earth to be able to travel with you, Lori. He absolutely adored you, his bride. After 26 years of marriage, his love for Lori still continued to grow. We all were a witness to that. Last year, for their 25th wedding anniversary, he surprised Lori with a vow renewal and party. It was the only way he could get Lori to marry him again. After a long day of work, tending to the farm or working in the shop, Tom could be found in the house, relaxing on the couch, eating his sherbet. And don't be mistaken, if anyone did call for help, he would finish eating his sherbet, and then he would go. The last thing Tom did was give. He gave up to 75 people the opportunity to have their lives changed with the donation of valves, tissues, bone, and skin. Tom lives through others. It was just yesterday Lori received a call about one of the first of many lives Tom is going to change. There is already someone out there who's seeing the world through Tom's eyes. Today we honor a great man. Tomorrow and forever, we will carry on his memories. He's gone too soon, but never to be forgotten.
Lori, one of the happiest times I've ever seen Tom was for your 25th. He was almost giddy. And the events surrounding that, keeping it a secret from you, and he kept asking me, how do I look? And he wanted to look his best. And I will be forever grateful for the honor of sharing in that event with you. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of that and having a part in renewal of your vows. Tom, when I think of Tom, he was a servant. He loved to serve. He served selflessly. nothing selfish about him. When we were back at the old church, we didn't have anybody to snowplow. Tom would bring his four-wheeler from Boysville, load it up on a trailer, bring it. And he had to be cold out there. And yet he did that every time we had a snowfall. And he was so faithful. He encouraged me to get a four-wheeler, and I did, put a plow on it so I could do my own driveway. He is a servant. I remember one time, I don't know all of the details. My wife was reminding me of this. You guys were going to a drive-in movie, and we happened to stop at the same gas station that you were at, and he was cleaning those windows, making sure that windshield was spick and span so that they could see the movie. And when he was done with his windshield, he came over and did mine. It's the kind of servant Tom was. I did have to tease him a little bit at the Easter breakfast. Tom was in charge of making pancakes. And he would take his spatula on those pancakes and he would flatten them down. And I'm like, Tom, they're flapjacks, not flatjacks. And the reason I would give him a hard time was because I used to do the same thing. And some of the ladies from a different church that I was in got after me and said, Pastor, you do not smash pancakes. But Tom was the pancake maker here on Easter breakfast when the men put it on, and he will be missed. Tom had a great sense of humor, as has been mentioned, and he could dish it out, but he could take it as well. And somebody sometime had jokingly made the remark that, have you ever noticed that Chinese restaurants are next to pet shops? So whenever Tom saw that person after that, it was, have you ate at any Chinese restaurants lately? But we will miss Tom. We will miss him for various reasons. And some of the things that we do, we'll think, you know, Tom would have been here for that. And I miss him. I know Stoney will miss him because he and Tom, one of the first ones to church on Sunday morning, would sit in that pew out there. Before anybody else got here, and they would fellowship. So he's going to be missed, but he's not going to be forgotten, as Amanda said. We will treasure the relationship and the memories that we have with Tom. I'm going to give you a little opportunity for an open mic here. Rod Burton is going to start it out, and if any of you boys would like to say something, you can follow Rod.
I don't really know what to say. No words can express the shock and the grief that we feel. But I'll say this. Jesus said, him that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? If you live and believe in Jesus, you will never die. I was sitting by my dad not long before he left this earth and went to heaven. And he said, Rodney. Dad didn't say a lot. He said, Rodney. He said, if we only knew what heaven was like, it's a good thing we don't know, because we'd all want to hurry and get there. First words I heard when I heard about Tom was, this mortal, and this is scriptural, shall put on immortality. This mortal has put on immortality. He went and left the vehicle of his body to live forever. And we will go and join him in eternity. I just wrote down a couple words to say. One is from Thomas Ritter's poem. We are all travelers in this world, from the sweet grass to the packing house, birth till death. We travel through the eternities. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I still remember the first time that I met Tom. Lori had brought him over to meet Mom and Dad. And I remember the joy that I felt, the joy, the frequency, the energy that they had together, the love that they had. We love you. Can you guys all just say we love you, we love her? You know, you guys, just quickly, you have 40 trillion cells in your body. Each cell is 1.4 volts of electricity. Now, I don't know how many people are here, but if there's, say, there's 100, 150, we are full of the electricity. We have the Spirit of God in us. And the Bible says that if the Spirit of God is in you, that Spirit shall raise you up from the dead. We will be raised up. And you say, why did this happen? We should all just be happy. And I had been talking to Lori about this, and I said, Lori, before Tom died, it seems like it's the Wizard of Oz, and I'm in a tornado, and I see the faces of the babies and the children and the people that have died and have gone before us. And I'm riding in that house, in that circle. And who's behind the curtain pulling the strings? And I remember my brother Marlo, he didn't like that. He didn't like that Wizard of Oz show very well. And he went in 1976. But you know, we do see the faces of our loved ones that have gone before. We see them. We hear their voices. We hear their songs. We catch their jokes. We feel their love. We feel their hugs. We feel their kisses. Jesus, the Bible says that I might know God, that I might know Him. And part of that scripture is the fellowship of His sufferings. Jesus was a man of sorrows. He wept. Jesus wept. The Bible says, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, laugh with those who laugh. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He felt pain. He felt the hurt. And He laid down His life. And He said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Yesterday, somebody told me, your body's like a peanut, Dad. The shell is here, but the nut's in heaven. The definition of father is a male parent, which is pretty vague and doesn't say much. And that's the complete opposite of how I define my dad. Tommy, as everyone well knows, was bullheaded. Quiet among many people, but always talking when he got around his favorite few. He was a hardworking, dedicated father who knew how to punish, which scared the heck out of me when I was acting up, but also taught me right from wrong. Taught me how to treat a woman the right way by showing his unconditional love for our mom. She was the love of his life. He would do anything for her. He sometimes would even pretend to be wrong, although he was right, for once. But of course, if you ask Mom, he's still wrong. Dad expressed his full support in all of our decisions, even if he didn't agree with what we were doing. He supported us in every single aspiration, especially racing and working on projects around the house. He worked his fingers to the bone daily, even on days he shouldn't be working, like holidays and birthdays. He would still find a way to sneak out to the shop and usually get his new clothes all full of grease. Then he had to deal with a cranky mom when it came time to go back in the house. If I know, Dad, that's probably why he was always working in the shop so long, waiting for Mom to go to bed or leave the house. Waiting to the last minute so that he didn't get yelled at for wrecking his brand new clothes that Mom bought. Dad was not only my father, but he was my best friend. We did everything together. Dad particularly loved to drive the truck and trailer to and from the racetracks, helping me strap in to go racing and pushing away others that tried to help strap me in, and teasing Mom that he'd be driving the race car that night and not me. That would scare Mom. She'd be like, oh, Tommy, you are not. That would give us something to laugh about the ride home when Mom would fall asleep. Dad's favorite track to go to was Deer Creek Speedway, which is in Spring Valley, Minnesota. It's a 3-hour drive. And I'm pretty sure the only reason he left that track so much is because it's such a long drive. Dad knew how to give us all one last laugh after he was gone. Friday morning, I was really taking it hard, and I was out in the garage. And I was looking at my race car, and something wasn't right. My hood was standing beside the car, covering something up. I moved the hood, and there was a big gash in the side of the car. Dad had hit this car with a skid steer pallet forks. And knowing I'd give him so much grief over hitting the car, because it means a lot to look good, he hit it, hoping I wouldn't see it. And that was Dad. He knew I wouldn't ever stop giving him crap. 15 years from now, I'd be like, hey, remember that one time you wrecked my car? Back to the script. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss his hugs that he always pretended to not like, especially from Elizabeth. His infinite wisdom and witty comebacks about anything and everything, his long-winded conversations about work and racing, and picking on Mom, will be missed. I love you.
I got 26 years of memories with my dad. Some of them I may not remember because I was just a baby. I don't know how to pick out my favorite memory of my dad, whether it was when I was younger and woke up right before he left for work and he rolled me in the blanket just so I could fall back asleep, or all the grief he gave me when the Minnesota Vikings didn't make it to the Super Bowl. He always asked me, he's like, when it's 6:22, do you say it's 38 minutes to 7? And he would never let it down. I always will cherish the memories that I had of him when we and Leah went out to eat with our parents. There's some stories I could say, but they're not really appropriate to say here. I think the one memory that I will always remember was the day after my friend passed away from cystic fibrosis. I was strapped in my race car, and he was helping me get ready, and he's like, what's wrong? And I said, I don't think I can do this. He's like, it's going to be okay. He's like, he's going to be riding shotgun with you in this car. He's like, you go out there, and you do your best. And he said, make sure to keep it on four wheels this time. For those who do not know, the day on May 17th, my dad helped me get ready for racing, and I went out to do the feature, and I was so proud because I was up front, and I got hit from behind and rolled right on the front stretch in the turn one, and I scared some of the officials because I was knocked out, and they all thought that I had gone to heaven. And when I came to, I crawled outside that passenger window and stood up on my car like I won the feature. And my dad the next day, he's like, how's your head feeling? And I said, I can feel it. And he's like, don't feel like you're winning another race right now? So that's one memory I'll always cherish of him, is telling me keep it on four wheels. And I'm never going to get rid of that car because there's one thing in there that I cannot replace. And inside the roll cage on the dash is welded the word Chester, which is what he always liked to call me.
So, not much to speak in front of crowds, so I'll just share a couple memories. So then, he was building the shed for the hay, and so he's measuring corner to corner to make sure it's square. And I'm out there helping him, and I'm like, well, why don't you just measure 3 feet one way, 4 feet the other way? If it's five, it's square, because that's how right triangles work. And he did it, and first try, 5 feet on the dot. Kind of shows that he built everything from scratch and perfect. When Gary moved into his new house, we had to build the railings, make sure he wouldn't fall. And he took a piece of paper and started drawing with black pen. No ruler or anything. Straight lines, perfect corners. It's to scale. No idea how he did it.
but
the one memory that gets me. Woke up late for school and throw clothes on, run out to my car, get down the road, and he's waving to me as he's working on the tractor. I get a text from him down the road saying,
"It's okay. It's okay. Finish the story."
Got a text saying that he loved me and proud of what I was doing.
How about the time you backed into the tractor?
You.
He was late for school, and he had just got his driver's license. And he backed into the tractor and broke the taillights. And Dad goes, "Hey, did you hit something this morning?"
At lunch or whenever you get the opportunity, they would love to hear them. But now I think we should play the song that Tom had for Lori. This is Lori's song, "You Are the Love of My Life." And apparently Tom would just send this song to her throughout the day and at different times. So this one is for Lori, Tom's special song for her.
I go crazy. I've never known love like this, and it fills me with a new tenderness. And I know, I know, I know, you're in my heart, you're in my soul, you're all I can't resist. Tell you the first time I held you, I knew you are the love of my life. I spent a lifetime waiting, always hesitating. Till you came and saved me from myself. Now all I really know is I need you. And you are the love of my life. All the joy and tears that I cry. And baby, 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 you don't have to say a word. I see it in your eyes. As we stand together, I promise forever till the day.
Since on the inside of your paper insert that you got was the 23rd Psalm, I look at the casket here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's definitely a shepherd theme here. And so I thought I'd just share a couple of words from Psalm 23. It's a psalm that we go to when we face situations where we lose loved ones and where we need comfort, just to know that the Lord is our shepherd, that he walks with us through life and through death. The 23rd Psalm affirms that the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, we lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have anything to fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He's there with me. And then we have everything to gain because the Lord is our shepherd. Someday we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tom's there now, dwelling in the Lord's house. He's only been there for a short time, but it's where he will spend eternity. A.W. Tozer said, "The only safe place for a sheep is by the side of his shepherd, because the devil does not fear sheep. He just fears the shepherd. That is all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Lori, I know you wonder how you're going to make it. You will. You will make it. The Lord is your shepherd, and he has promised to walk with you through life, all of life. Never leave you alone, never to forsake you. You will make it, and he will take care of you. Our shepherd is unique because our shepherd feels what we feel. The Bible says that he is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, our infirmities. When we grieve, he grieves. He knows what it's like to experience life tragedies. Justin, Tyler, Dylan, I want to remind you something today, and that is that Jesus lost his earthly father when he was just a young man. We know that Jesus had his earthly father Joseph around when he was 12, but when Jesus started his ministry at 30, Joseph was no longer there. So sometimes in his teens, in his early 20s, he lost his earthly father. He knows what you're going through today. He's touched with those feelings. And I just want to encourage you to draw strength from him, seek and share in your grief and in your burden. In John chapter 11, a very good friend of Jesus, Lazarus, had died. He often visited the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, deliberately stayed away until he was sure that Lazarus had died. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But the scripture says that when Mary saw Jesus coming, she ran to him and she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You would have healed him." Jesus had a greater miracle than just a healing in mind. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews that were with her weeping as well, he groaned in his spirit, and the scripture says that he was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Come and see." And then the scripture says, Jesus wept. I wondered, why did Jesus weep when he knew that in just a few moments he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? This is why Jesus wept. When he saw Mary and the others weeping, he was in such anguish of spirit that he wept as well. I want you to know today that Jesus is weeping with you. He doesn't take pleasure in your loss. Tom is precious in his sight. Yes, make no doubt about that. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to do something about death because it grieves me. And he went to the cross and he died for your sins and mine there so that death no longer has to be an eternal separation. So that death does not separate us from our loved ones forever. He can't come to us, but someday, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will go to him. Jesus loves you today. He knows what you're going through. He's experiencing that grief with you. As Rodney had said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. It's the body that is dead, but the spirit continues to live, as Jesus said, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Which means that we don't have to fear. That's what the psalmist said. Now, I want you to listen to the testimony of David. I'm not going to do this very long, but there's something I want you to see. David, the same David who wrote Psalm 23, had said in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. Now, I don't say that today to scare you, but to prepare you. There is just a step between any of us and death. There was just a step that time for Tom. He didn't know he was going to be taking that step, but he took that step, and the next moment, the next step, he's in the arms of Jesus. You feel that beating in your chest today? That could stop at any moment. There's just a step. That's the only thing keeping us alive. There's a step between life and death for all of us. But if you're ready to meet Jesus, there's nothing to fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Psalm 23 is just a favorite psalm of all of ours. But to really appreciate that psalm, you have to understand the two psalms that are around it, Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. These are called messianic psalms. These are the psalms about the coming Savior, talking about Jesus. Psalm 22 is a psalm about Calvary. It's about Mount Calvary, the place where Jesus went to die, where he took your sins and mine to the cross. Psalm 24 is another mountain psalm. It's about Mount Zion. It's about heaven. But Psalm 23 is the valley between the two psalms. Psalm 23 is where we live today. We live in the valley. And we need to look back to the past and see that Jesus died for us on Mount Calvary. And we need to look ahead to the future and see that heaven is possible for us. But it all depends on what we do in Psalm 23, in the life that we are living right now. If we would look back to Calvary, to Psalm 22, and say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, but I believe that you were buried and you rose again on the third day, and not believe that just as a historical fact, but believe it personally in your life. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. You took my sins to the cross, and I want you to forgive me for those. And thank you for dying for me, and I put my faith and I put my trust in what you did there. Then someday, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death here, we'll take one more step and we'll climb up the mountain on the other side, the mountain to heaven. And this is something I would encourage every one of you, if you have not done that, that today you would just simply find some time to say, Jesus, I put my faith, I put my trust in you as my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, and I receive that forgiveness. And I receive you, and you have nothing to fear, but you have everything to gain. And then that psalm, you have everything to expect. Everything that heaven has, which we cannot even imagine, is there for us. We heard the news that Tom had passed. We wept. We hugged each other. We held to each other. We shared that embrace. We shared those moments. We asked questions. We said, "Why, Lord?" We didn't have any understanding. We still don't. We were feeling such loss and loneliness and anguish, probably you've never experienced before, I'm sure. But in that moment, Tom was experiencing the most bliss he has ever known because he was in the presence of Jesus. 5 minutes after Tom died was the most blessed experience he had ever had. That can be ours as well. And Paul said, it hasn't even entered the heart or the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We can't even imagine what it's like. But somebody tried in a song, "I Can Only Imagine."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever. Forever worship you. I can only imagine.
For this last song, we're going to ask you to all join in. Page 375 in the hymnal. I'm not sure if the guy's got it up there on the screens or not, but I'll fly away.
You'll have been sitting for a while. Would you please stand?
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah.
You may remain standing. I just want to give you a couple quick announcements. You are welcome to go to the burial service, the committal service in Boysville. It'll be after we eat, so we're all eating here first. But I request that you let the family go through line first. If you go out these doors and out down the long hallway, you come to a set of double doors there. When they're closed, that means the family still hasn't been able to get in yet to go through line. So we'll wait for them, and then when those doors are open, then you can all go in and fellowship together. So Father, we just invite your blessing upon the meal and the fellowship that we have. May it strengthen our bodies, Lord, and may it be an encouragement as people share some memories of Tom. And just love on the family for a while, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May God's peace be multiplied unto you. May his grace and mercy and love be with you forever. And Tom, this is not goodbye forever.